tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Rain After Show here on AfterBuzz TV for Season 3, Episode 2. This music just gets you going.
It does. It's so good. It's my first episode back of the season, so I am so excited to be back, you guys.
That's right. The voice of Keaton Markey.
I'm here. I'm here, I swear. I'll be here more often. I just am in a lot of weddings this year. I've been gone for
any of them
weekends.
Yours?
What?
Any of them yours?
God, no.
All right. Well, we have some wedding stuff to talk about in this episode.
Oh, for sure.
And you know what? This is a little bit overdue, but we have, you guys may remember him as the Duke of Geese from Season 1 and 2. We have Gil Darnell in studio
yes!
today.
Yes!
The sweetheart of the show.
That's yeah. right.
I know, you're so nice!
I never did anything bad on the show. I was a good man.
It's hard to believe that you played that evil of a man.
Huh?
I despised your character.
Well, thanks very much.
But you're very sweet. I don't despise you at all. No, I'm very happy you're here.
And interesting, though, you say the same of the actor who plays Narcisse.
Uh-huh. Craig, yeah.
Yeah, because Narcisse is the most deplorable guy on the show, but...
He's the worst. Yeah. He's the one that you love to hate. He's like the Joffrey.
Yeah.
Like a little bit. If you guys watch Game of Thrones, I always throw out those references.
But yeah, no, amazing guy.
So for
even though he's a New Zealander.
Oh, he's a Kiwi.
So good. Aussie Kiwi rather.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot to discuss, but before we get into the plot tonight, and we of course, by popular demand, still have Castle Corner, and we got some news and gossip for you. We'll talk with Gil. We'll kind of recap not only his time during Rain, but other stuff. So, you know, stay tuned for the plot, because we will get into that. But first, Gil, let's open up with Rain, and then we'll kind of expand to the rest of it.
Sure.
How did you get involved with Rain? And, you know, what was that experience like?
Yeah, originally I got called in to play... Remember, there's a character that got killed off who's trying to get with Catherine. They killed him off. He's one of the Scottish guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I got called in for that part. And luckily they said, oh, no, we've got a cooler role for you coming up. So then I went back in to read for a recurring role of the Duke of Guise. And so I knew this was coming up. And then so I read a lot into it. And I thought, oh, what a joy to play such a character on the show. And so then I went to meet all the people involved, and luckily they gave me the job. So yeah, it became a better role than I anticipated.
Did you do, when you said you like looked into the character, did you look up the real history of this guy?
Oh yeah, yeah. So I just got immediately onto Amazon, and I just downloaded every Kindle book on Mary, Queen of Scots, and then there's a lot of stuff on the Duke of Guise too, but most of it was in French.
Okay.
So it's like, I mean, I'm my French is okay, but it's like reading a French novel is a whole different work of art. But yeah, he's just a fascinating guy, and his story, as I was saying to Phil before we came to air, was, you know, he was actually mostly wounded in this battle in Italy, I think, on the border of Switzerland. But his assistant, my assistant, put himself on top of my body so that I'd be saved when the enemy came through to kill all the people who were wounded. My assistant saved me, and then I just kind of trudged up after everyone left, got on my horse, and rode back to France.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Where's his amazing, biopic?
Yeah,
like, come on!
Amazing story, amazing guy, you know. So, but yeah, no. So it was fascinating to explore him. So,
but you have to be a baddie.
Yeah,
he was not like as cool as he seems he was. Well, how fun is it to play a villain?
Oh yeah, and I'll never forget the first day, because we have all these trained stuntmen playing my soldiers, and all on horseback, amazing horsemen. And I thought, it's minus 25 degrees that day. I want to go meet my troops. And they said, Gil, you need earmuffs. I said, no, I'm Maximus. I'm a warrior. I can handle this, right? So I go, hey guys, how are you doing? And I'm about 10 minutes away from shelter. And my ears are just about to drop off my nose. Where are my earbuds? Yeah, so like Duke of Geese became a big wimp in 2 seconds flat.
That's funny. Well, yeah. You know, when you kind of first got, you know, after doing this research, what were you most excited to potentially see on the series? Besides, I mean, it seems like this battle certainly, but beyond that,
I think because the humanity of the Duke of Geese, you know, it's like I don't think, you know, think even the bad guys are, you know, they don't think I didn't think I was bad, and you know, I'm trying to make France great. You know, myself and my brother, we're trying to, we've got the best interest in France in our minds, and it's just, you know, we just do everything we can to make sure that we, you know, we make sure that that our niece is, you know, is protected, and we make France great again. So just explain that something.
Yeah. Are you looking at me? I'm just such a history buff, so I could like talk to you like about like his history and his backstory. Forever. Have you ever like have you played very many historical characters before, or is this kind of like the first real person that you got to portray?
I think it probably was, and I think that's what I think. Aside from drama school, you know, drama school explored a lot of that, but that's, I think that was so fascinating. And you know, the pencil thin moustache and the triangular goatee, but they wouldn't have any of that. But no, it was just amazing. Just a great time and such a great crew, and everyone from the drivers to the catering to everyone was just wonderful.
And you guys are out in the elements, which is Did
and
you like, have to do any
like
training
Torrance,
ahead of time?
Poor Torrance is every week is he out in the elements. Well, most everyone else is at court.
I mean, when Jonathan Geltz was here, you're saying how like your armor is actually, it looks like armor, but it's like it's like sweatshirt material kind of, and like that's all to keep you warm, and you guys are just freezing.
We've got hand warmers in our gloves, we've got leg boot warmers in our boots and everything.
So you're not method acting.
Well, of course, I didn't have this. I loaded up on that stuff as we went on.
And the girls are in dresses and like, I mean, these like gorgeous dresses. So you guys, Canada, it's rough terrain.
What was going back? What was your favorite scene to you know act in or storyline? You know, from whether season one or two. I mean, season two, from what I recall, was more of your heavier stuff in terms of, you know, you had more involvement. Because there was that whole Henry storyline and everything kind of going on with that.
I think just the, you know, the opportunity to explore, as you know, I didn't, when I got killed off, I thought I was becoming they were going to have more of an intrigue with Catherine. And I adore Megan Follows. And when I saw it from the very first episode, when I was acting with, because she speaks so softly, like even when we're doing the announcements, you know, praise King Henry, and she's got her line, and then I'm after her, and I can't hear what because she's speaking so softly, and I just have to hope she's actually said that, and then come in, and then she's just so subtle and so, and I think just the opportunity to have more work with her was fascinating. And we trained with the same acting coach. And as I said, and she's the sister-in-law of a good friend of mine, and she's amazing. She's just amazing. And I've known nothing about Anna Green Gables, but anyone just knows her from that.
She's like this like kind of like iconic Canadian star. She's like the Meryl Streep of Canada.
She basically is. But such, you'd never know. She's just such a normal, lovely lady. And I think.
Who did you kind of most befriend? Because I mean, you talked about Craig, who plays Narcisse. You just spoke of Megan, but then, you know, when I mentioned Jonathan Keltz, not that, you know, you guys weren't friends, but you guys didn't interact a lot. Who did you really interact, and who kind of, you know, perhaps you wanted to, but just didn't?
I think like Jonathan was. We never did the same episode. Strangely enough, we never actually worked on the same episode. But I heard so many good things through mutual friends and through other people in the cast. But I think, you know, I'm such an outsider coming into it. And I was very, you know, I really just kind of kept to myself, and it worked for me. I wanted, because for me, you know, Adelaide and Francis, they're brats to me, you know. So I didn't want to get too close with them. So I kind of kept my distance, and then it worked well to, because they kind of really didn't know me too well. I don't know, maybe it's too methody and all that sort of rubbish, But then getting to know Craig, like, and I wanted, coming into the when Craig came onto the show, Craig Parker came on, I wanted to hate him, you know, because he's nasty, and I was like, you know, our storylines, like, but he's such a sweetheart. I was like, I'm trying to keep method, but he's just such a sweet guy, and I find myself just joking with him,
he's a Kiwi.
Yeah, exactly. But Megan, I guess, any spare second, I just run to Megan and just hang out in her trailer and just kind of trying to glean some, hope some excellence just rubs off on me somehow.
I mean, it's just interesting. You know? I feel like every week her character, like, they just want to kill her off, like, from the character's perspective, but obviously from the show perspective, they're like, there's no way we can let her go.
Well, in history. Yeah.
Well, I mean, history can be rewritten on a CW show.
Yeah, come on, that's scandalous.
You can't kill off Catherine de Medici.
Francis is never going to die, right?
No. he's pretty close to it at this point.
Yeah, so. No, not going to happen. Don't break those girls' hearts.
Keaton, any other questions?
One thing about what an intelligent guy. I'm not sure if you've met Toby, but he's amazing. He can do he just had the Rubik's Cube in the trailer one day, in the makeup trailer. So someone just gave it and he just 1 minute did it. Are you kidding me? This guy's like a genius.
He seems like a smart guy. Like
he's so cerebral and just just a fascinating. He's a fascinating guy.
Adelaide seems to say, I feel like they both seem very, very intelligent, and that's why I feel like the chemistry is so strong between them on camera, and you believe it, because they're just, I believe that at their young age they could both be monarchs because they are just intelligent people.
And an amazing thing about those two guys is, this apparently wasn't planned, okay, but Adelaide in Toronto, I'm not sure if she still does, but when I was working there, Adelaide lives on Queen Street in Toronto, and guess where?
King Street.
Toby lives. King Street. But they didn't plan this. I said, come on, surely. But they, apparently it wasn't planned.
Interesting. I'm sure some assistant was like, wouldn't it be funny if we just did this?
And yeah, then, let's set them up in these apartments.
Yeah, and then, Nostradamus, he was a lovely guy too.
We call him Hostradamus, aren't we? What do you call
him?
Hostradamus on the show.
Yeah.
You don't call him that on set?
No, just privately. Hostradamus. What's up, buddy? I wonder why he doesn't text me anymore.
That'd be funny. Keaton, any other Rain questions before we...
I could go on forever and be like... So,
I love that you guys are... You guys are...
I know. We're like super fans.
Show, yeah. It's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Favorite... I mean, do you guys have any, like, funny, like, kind of... Like, any, like, times on set where it was just really funny that you kind of think back of and you're like, that was a fun day, or that was kind of a crazy day, minus your nose falling off and ears falling off.
Like, the great thing about it was we had to become great horsemen, you know, so we had, like, I thought, you know, give me as many riding lessons as I see, so every spare second I'd race out to like 40 minutes north of Toronto, and they'd train me how to ride the horse well, because as a kid I wanted to be a jockey, but I was scared of horses. Slight career drawback. Anyway, so but when I finally get on my horse for the first scene on my horse, it's like 5 foot deep in snow, right? And as I said, all the guys, the stuntmen, are amazing riders, right? And they say, okay, Gil, so this is what we're going to do. You're going to trot out of the snow, take your army to this mark, stop on this mark, so halt your guys behind, halt your men behind, and then you just trot onto the castle, right? And so, no problem. And this, it's a huge wide shot, right? So we got cameras everywhere. It's like, this can't go wrong. So, and action. And I'm kicking my horse not hard enough, right? And my horse is so placid, he won't move. So I'm kicking, and all the guys behind me, the expert guys, are trying to get my horse to move, and suddenly my horse just takes off. And I was like, and cut. And then, okay, Gil, and we do this about 3 times. And they say, okay, Gil, that's enough for the day. I said, you're bringing my stuntman now, aren't you? So in the final cut is just me just walking and walking all my horse up. I was like, here's me wanting to be a jockey. What a failure.
Well, they probably put you on like the most, like, you know, it's like you can't put the face actor on like the crazy horse, but the crazy horse.
Oh, my horse Clancy was incredible. He's like a white horse. See, I was a good guy. The bad guy rides a bad black horse. I rode the white horse.
Yeah, you were in disguise.
I was a good guy.
Well, you were like Saruman. Because wasn't he on like a white horse at first, and then he, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Lord of the Rings, not Saruman, his name,
they're Sauron and Saruman.
Yeah, they sound similar.
I can never get which one's which.
I know, right?
That's the fact that they, I wish I could tell Tolkien, don't name him that. Too similar.
It's like Tyrion and
Tywin.
Yeah, it's like, to this day, I don't know.
I know. I always, they're like, no, you're the imp and the mean guy.
Yeah.
The mean dad. I'm good. Do you have any more questions about Ring?
Well, let's expand this world of gills. Well, currently you're on.
Do you say world of skills or world of gills?
World of gills.
World of gills.
The world of gills.
You're currently now on Fox's Bones.
Yeah.
You just started this past Thursday.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
I unfortunately did not.
Scandalous. Yeah.
I haven't seen Bones before, and so yeah. I felt it would have been just me. It would have been scandalous for me to just jump in. I have to start with
good save, man. Good save.
I got to start from the back.
Okay.
Well, and then you go really far back for Bones. My first
11th season. I mean,
yeah,
incredible.
My first extra gig ever was on Bones, it was such a fun day because it was like the 200th episode, I think, and it was like set in the 1950s, and so we all got to be like dressed in like really cool vintage costumes, and the main guy was directing it, so I was like, oh my god, Angel.
No.
David Boreanaz, so, but it was, everybody on that crew is so nice. I worked on that show a couple times.
Seriously, like, when I first started it, because I was just a guest star to them, and they didn't know I was going to do anything else, and they just embraced me like I was a series regular, you know, and just the sweetest, nicest people that I've, you know, ever worked with, except for Rain, of course.
Yeah. saying the same thing about Rain.
Yeah, exactly. But just, yeah, just what a joy to.
What is the storyline that you're doing?
To go on Fox Studios every day is just amazing. So basically, I'm playing a Pulitzer. Now, the great story behind this is I'm playing a Pulitzer Prize winning photographer. So doing my research for this, I know nothing about photography, although I played a photographer on Entourage.
Yeah.
And then, I Googled like Pulitzer Prize winning photographers, and I saw these books by this guy called David Kennelly. So I ordered these books, and the great thing about Kindle is you can read them straight away, and I got to do these other hardbacks in and stuff. So I'm reading all about this guy, David Kennelly, this fascinating guy, how he captures an image and everything. I turn up on set, and they've set up the set like a gallery, right, with all these photos, and I recognize this is David. These are David Kennelly's photos, right? Mm-hmm. And I hear the director saying, "Oh, did I David Kennelly?" I said, "Wait! You've based this we based this character on David Kennelly. Are you kidding me? I've got all his books." And so then I was like, total brownie points. And like, wow, this guy
comes prepared. Yeah. He is ready to go.
And so then it's like, we got to take a photo. We'll take a photo of you in the books, and he's a good friend of mine. We'll get David to come down. So literally within 2 hours on set. This guy that I've been reading about is on set, and I was like, "Hey, David, tell me about when you go on assignment. What do you do here?" And what a amazing sweetheart, lovely, like totally unassuming. If I'd won a Pulitzer Prize, hey guys, Facebook, check out my Pulitzer. But David's such a wonderful, modest guy, and so yeah, it's basically about that. And one of the girls, Michaela, takes a shine to me. She's practicing photography, and then so she has this. I'm not giving spoiler alerts because it's aired on Thursday. So I actually turn up to her exhibition. She said that she thinks everyone's joking because I've signed on the silent auction, but it actually is me. And then, so yeah, we just filmed the follow-up episode from that, and it's kind of a good little... It's very interesting how it goes. So
are you going to become bad?
Long may it last 10 more seasons. No, it's like... Well, I hope not. It's like... it's cool to actually play a... Play like a normal
guy. A nice guy.
I think I'm a nice guy, yeah.
Directors and writers must love you because, I mean, just even kind of reading your history and now the way you speak, I mean, you're so well versed, and you just do a lot of research.
Yeah.
How many languages do you speak in total?
Man, you know,
seven. Is it seven?
Twenty-seven. No, I mean, like, I've always had a passion for languages, and the problem with me is that I take on too much. Like, I want to learn French. Man, like, I was studying three languages at this Beverly Hills Lingual Institute at one time, and I was so proud of myself, and I said to the receptionist, "Oh, I must be studying the most languages here, right?" And I think she says, "No, actually, we've got one guy who studies four languages. Put me down for Arabic and Portuguese." And then so I'm trying like that, but every week the homework is just like I should just do one language every year. But yeah, I just love it, you know. And so what a great opportunity to learn. I used to work at Heathrow Airport and like just doing promotions, like handing out flyers, and everyone hated this job. And I thought, what a great opportunity, because you see all these people from everywhere in the world. Let's learn something today, right? So you see all the passports, you see a Finnish guy come and say, "Hey, man, how do you say hello in Finnish?" And they say, "Hey." I say, "Okay, thanks, man, hey." So the next Finnish passport you see come through, you say, "Hey." And he goes, "Huh?" I say, "How do you say thank you in your language?" He says, "Kiitos." I say, "Okay, kiitos, thanks, man." And he goes, next Finnish guy, "Hey, kiitos." "Oh, Jesus Christ." This guy can speak Finnish in Heathrow Airport, you know, so... But well, yeah, what an opportunity, you know. It's, but yeah, but like, there's only so much you can take on. So,
I mean,
I grew up in Hong Kong as a kid, so I speak Cantonese, which is the craziest thing. But but that's because there's no special skill because I grew up there. That's my hometown, you know. But my twin brothers are like you'd think they're Chinese. They speak so well.
Really?
Now you're basing a project on your brothers.
Them. Yeah.
You know, and with your love of wushu.
Yeah, it wasn't initial love of wushu. I wanted to be, because Hong Kong's such an amazing kung fu, the kung fu scene there is so incredible. And so I based both my twin brothers, I based the story on them taken to extremes. So one brother's an amazing gambler, he's incredible with horses. He can look at a horse and see if it's ready to win and just, he's just amazing. And then the other brother's an amazing, was a police inspector in Hong Kong. And so I've taken it to extremes, and my dad's a Supreme Court judge in real life. So like the father gets killed by the triads, who are like the mafia of Hong Kong, and then there's two twins end up on opposite sides of the law. One becomes an amazing crime fighter, and the other one seems to be like a triad, a mafia guy, but actually he's trying to infiltrate the system from the inside to get revenge. So they're both working for the same goal, but the good brother thinks that the bad one's a total deadbeat. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so don't anyone steal my story.
No, I'm so into it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's
so
crazy.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, so the protagonist is like the good cop's like a Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson sort of guy with a bit of Darth Vader in there too, you know. And you know, try picture this, and then yeah, and as kids, that my twin brothers were these amazing cross country runners. And so I just based it on them, and yes, we're just, anyone got $5 million? Let's make this. So it's all ready to go, and it's been a great experience. And doing that, I had a development executive from Weinstein's getting other projects, and we've got another project very similar on lines to Gravity, like a really cool space project. And so we're working on that, and it's all ready to go, just raising the financing for that.
So are you kind of like, it seems like you're kind of diving into the world of writing, the world of producing, is that?
Yeah, only producing for my sake. Yeah. but writing in the sense that, I want that story told as, because I know Hong Kong so well, and mm-hmm. Because in the middle of Hong Kong we have a horse racing track, and imagine Times Square, and there's a horse racing track right in the middle of Times Square with 100,000 people watching twice a week, and it's just crazy, and it's like that. And it's just a gambling mad town, and that's why.
That's so cool.
Intriguing.
Have you ever been to the Derby? Kentucky?
The Kentucky Derby. No, I haven't. No, but
that's probably nothing compared to Hong Kong.
Yeah, I went from Hong Kong to Australia, and I was actually in the phys ed field. I only got into acting like when I was 28, 30 years old. But so I used to study the horse. I'd do all my work from Monday to Thursday, and every Friday I'd have off, and I'd just study horse racing for the whole day, and then go to the races on Saturday.
I made $300.
Really? Nice.
My little sister works with race horses, and she worked at a breeding farm, and now she works with yearlings, and mm-hmm. that she wants to be a trainer, and so she lives in Kentucky, and we all went to the Derby, and
amazing, she
knows how to
America stops.
Yeah, well, and she just knows, she can literally look at a horse similar, and she just knows. Yeah. She knows, like, she'll tell me, okay, these are going to be the top three.
Yeah.
And like, those, if they're not in the top three, they'll be in the top five.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I'm like, I don't know how you do it, and she's so little.
That's a skill, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yeah, it's amazing. I love horses, but yeah.
But you can't get them to go.
I have no idea how to make them move. But I can look like I know.
Yeah,
what I'm
doing. There you go. That's all you have to do is bet on them.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. You just have to know which one's going to go faster than the other.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be the guy on it.
Yeah, right.
Very cool. Anything else that you want to kind of tell the fans while you have this opportunity before we get into Rain's episode?
I don't know, like that. I'd love everyone. Unfortunately, it's not released yet. I don't know. It's a film called Redirected. It's this crazy film I shot in Europe, and basically it's like Hangover meets Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels or Snatch. And it's like I have this bulletproof plan to rob this gangster Vinnie Jones, and then we just fly off to Malaysia. Can't go wrong. And then we get the money, we get on our plane, and there's the volcanoes that happened in Iceland years ago mm-hmm. cause our plane to be redirected to Lithuania. And so we spend one night in Lithuania, and everything just goes horribly wrong. And then it just tells my story, the two other guys' stories, like the four guys, and the one guy's kind of roped into the whole thing. And it's just it's an insane tale. And I think it's hilarious. I just hope it gets a wider audience here in America.
I love those types of movies.
Yeah, it's a huge success and huge
like
success
a comedy
in Europe.
Of errors.
So, yeah, exactly. And I end up like running the streets of Lithuania naked with a handcuffed handcuffed to a radiator. So yeah,
there you go. That's how you got the female audience. You got me at Lock, Talk, Two Smoking Barrels. You got
whoa, whoa.
Easy, Tiger. Yeah. But yeah, redirected. Watch that.
Redirected. And do you know when that comes out?
Yeah, I really don't know what's happening with the American release. I know you can get it now on DVD, probably anyway on Amazon or iTunes. But yeah, it's a funny film.
Check it out.
Yeah, look there for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Support good people.
Yeah, right? Really. Seriously. Like, you're talking about how everybody's a sweetheart, and you're just like, you're so nice.
No.
All right, so let's dive into tonight's episode. As mentioned, season 3. Episode 2. Keaton, overall thoughts?
Overall thoughts of this episode. This season has, like, come on really, really strong for me. I really enjoy it. I'm so glad that, like, the giant elephant in the room of Francis dying is finally out there because, you know me, I always, like, fight for the historical accuracy, even though CW takes a lot of liberties, but
no.
I don't hate you for it. I don't. I love you for it. So, I don't know. I think it was good. I love having Catherine back. She
Do you know which
favorite.
Episode he's going to die, though? And you say spoiler alert if you do.
I think I do know what episode he's going to die in.
All right, then.
I shouldn't say it, though. Let's pretend we don't.
So Americans say spoiler. If you say spoiler alert, that means everyone just shuts their ears.
Yeah, earmuffs. It's like earmuffs.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, they have the option to skip over it.
Okay, I see.
The creators have already come out and said he's going to die before the end of the season.
Yeah, but that could mean episode 3, or that could mean episode the penultimate episode. So
I feel like it doesn't really give us much. Mid-season finale, we're going to lose them.
Okay.
We're going to lose them.
Okay.
I'll be really sad, though. It won't be the same, but they've already changed all, like, the little promos, and instead of Mary and Francis, it's Mary and Elizabeth, so it's very sad.
So she's not gone. Going anywhere.
No, of course not. I won't spoil what happens to her, but just look it up.
Read a book.
Read a book. Exactly.
Doesn't have to be French.
There's a scandalous thought.
Yeah. All right.
What do you think?
Well, I really like I like how we're bringing Elizabeth, and obviously now we're seeing more and more of her, and in particular her solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because last week it was her and Catherine. This week it's her dealing with the aftermath of that. And kind of the pressures on her, and so to now see, whereas Catherine, she's always kind of been very strong, but to see Elizabeth, who is supposed to be strong, but deep down, you know, she has her breakdown tonight and she cries. I like seeing the dichotomy of Mary and her.
Because I know, obviously, I don't know how much influence you were, or how much you interacted with wardrobe, mm-hmm. but I know the wardrobe department is huge for Rain.
Amazing.
Like, the way that they dress these girls, and the men as well, is absolutely stunning, where they pull their costumes from and everything. And I was very kind of interested in the fact of how they dressed Elizabeth this episode, because she is this amazing, strong monarch, and mm-hmm. last week's episode, she looked fierce, like the way she had her collar. It looked like your traditional Elizabeth. Obviously, again, they don't make them look. It's like modernized versions of these historical figures. Mm. But this week's episode, I thought she looked very passive. She had like a braid. She did not look like the queen that she was last week. And I wonder if they did that on purpose
What was the name of the girl with the hideous face?
Clarissa.
There you go. That's it. No, because I she kind of reminded me of Clarissa.
What?
But a very attractive. The actress is very attractive.
She's stunning.
Yeah.
But the hair, and she had she had
what
dirt all over his face.
Did we ever get that resolved? What happened to her?
It's still TBD.
What?
We brought in King Henry. We can bring back
you can bring back anybody. You could come back.
Evil twin.
Oh, if they brought King Henry back, you know, he's like, that's like the weight of my heart, really.
Let's start with Bash and kind of the supernatural, because that seems to be, I feel like they, you know, with Bash, they don't quite know which way to go with him. And so they give him that supernatural storyline. And and for me, it's Keaton, what did you think kind of dealing with this? Because I never know, because they're playing the fine line of it could be real or it could be supernatural, and it splits the middle.
I just want them to give Bash more things that mean like, I feel like things are so serious with what is going on within the castle and within the monarchy and within the family. And so, like, the fact that Bash is always running off to, like, do these
errands,
and taking care of mystical things and stuff, I'm kind of just like, Bash is like he was when we had that kind of love triangle between him, Mary, and Francis season one. I thought I loved his character so much, and like I still loved what was going on with Kenna and all that stuff. But I felt like I want to bring Bash back to reality this season a little bit, and I'm very much over this the witch lady that he's chasing after.
Let me ask you this: not that you had any kind of involvement.
I say keep Bash out in the wilderness.
Yeah,
Torrance loves Benelli. He's fine. Give him some more errands.
It was a fun time. But you know, did they? Again, not that you were involved in these storylines, but did they ever kind of go over about, you know, where they stood, where Rain's stance on the supernatural is?
That's
the ultimate question to me.
Yeah, no, they never confided anything to me. I mean, Laurie was a sweetheart. She said I could, you know, to ring her anytime, and it was like, I wish I'd taken her up. Then I could have said, hey, Laurie, tell me about the supernatural.
You should call her right now.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I have no insight at all into it.
Well, from your perspective, you know, seeing the storylines, you know, do you think they're playing it more that it is the supernatural, or that it's just something real and, you know, we're mistaking it for something supernatural, but there's an explanation behind it?
Yeah, I'd go with the latter. Well, I mean, what do you think?
I like the idea that they're playing with it, that, you know, it just turns out to be, you know, someone's shadow that everyone's scared of.
Oh, really?
I actually like that. I don't necessarily want the supernatural brought into this. I think there's so much interesting stuff going on that it's almost superfluous, which is a compliment to them, ultimately. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating story as it is, you know, as history was written.
Yeah.
That, I guess you don't really need that, but I think it adds an extra
intrigue.
Because, I mean, those days was all about, you know, they all had their these crazy beliefs and the mystical beliefs, didn't they? And they didn't really know as much about how the world ticks as that we do these days, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? The one thing, certainly, the one Narcisse, right? Speaking of, we brought up Hotstradamus at the beginning, but, you know, his one prophecy has stayed throughout this, where that Francis will eventually die.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly that's come to fruition, but.
Yeah.
We thought we were going to get it last season, and then it didn't happen.
We thought maybe first season, too.
I'm sure he's going to die in this season, too.
No, they've said it. They've put it out there. The creators of Rain have said, Francis will be gone. Toby, I'm so sad, will be gone. And it breaks my heart, but he will be. I don't know. I like, going back to the supernatural, I do enjoy the fact that they kind of leave it up to your interpretation, because I feel like that is what the supernatural is to everybody, even in modern day, is like who believes in it? How much
do you
believe in it?
That's what drives me nuts. I need an answer. I can't, you know, that's why I watch TV, to get answers.
Hang in there 7 more seasons. Just hang in there, man.
Is it going to be 7 more seasons?
No.
I was like, oh my God.
It's all confirmed.
He knows.
It's all confirmed.
All right, let's move on to, Lola is one of your favorite characters. I don't know if you told me off-air or during the show.
Real-life personas, yeah. Yeah, she's an amazing girl.
And so I really like the storyline because here's Narcisse, who I think genuinely likes Lola, and yet the way he finally ends up wooing her is the most deplorable act by putting rats into her.
There's a rat. She found a rat in her bathtub.
With a note that said...
From Narcisse.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, paraphrasing.
He's obsessed with baths, isn't he? Narcisse loves a good bath.
And that's the thing, because Lola then thinks it's Catherine, because, you know, how much have you shared with Catherine about, you know, our intimate relationship? Yeah. He's like, I didn't know. I don't know. Yeah. I'll protect you. And he coerces her into...
An affair. Affair. Well, because he wants to marry her. He wants to make an honest woman out of her. She's kind of like, nah, let's just have some fun, because this is kind of, Francis will never approve. This won't be good. And somehow this episode, though, he seals the deal.
Oh, he does. Oh, nice.
He does. He sealed the deal this episode, right? Is that that's how you would interpret it, right?
I mean, he's there at the picnic. At her favorite picnic spot, he's there waiting. She's like, what are you doing here? And he's like,
he's creepy.
Yeah.
But
like,
he,
it's like the he way he's the line, is creepy.
He toes that line between creepy and not creepy. He's almost like modern day.
Creepy and charming.
No, in modern day, this is what on one of the other after shows, I forget what it was. Like people were looking at women's Pinterest, okay. And based off of that, setting up like the best first dates. Which seems like a good idea, but it's also creepy. Yeah. That's what Narcisse says.
That's a nice analogy.
No, but like I hope the people who are looking at the Pinterest boards aren't leaving dead rats with notes tied to their legs in these women's bathtubs.
That's what creepy. Sets it over the top. Yes.
That's a little more creepy, has to be said.
Very creepy.
But so do we like Narcisse in this regard? Because, I genuinely like Narcisse, but after tonight's episode, I'm just, that as soon as we see that, I'm like, you're back to I don't like you anymore. You're not a good guy at all.
Can't be trusted. I know, but with losing Francis, I truly believe that Narcisse is a character that has been written to that he does truly love Lola and that he will protect her, and within protecting her, will protect her son, Francis's son. So I feel like it's a good match for her because I don't feel like she's going to really get anybody else, and she might. And Narcisse is a powerful man. Like as much as you might not think,
but that
he is,
power.
He is.
Could go against France and certainly Mary.
Oh, well,
That's what scares me the most.
So does he have the best interests of France?
That's what I'm saying. How many times he's the guy with the information, but let's say he decides to cut it off.
But, but if it comes down to it, like Lola, your son or your best friend?
So you're saying
I
not
feel like
the
she's going to choose for her. She's going to choose her son. I think that's something we're going to see a lot of, having her have to choose.
But, okay, I want to know what scenario, because why wouldn't Mary also help protect the son?
Because it's not her child.
There you go.
And it threatens her reign.
Okay.
So in the end, once Francis is gone and she loses that protection, he is a huge threat to her. So, I don't know. I think Narcisse is going to sneak his way into Lola's heart even more. And end up getting married to her and then gonna try to turn her against Mary. And I think, it's gonna be sad because they're besties.
Let me ask you guys this from an opinion perspective. Is it good? This is now, last week we had Francis telling her that she shouldn't go with Narcisse. Now you have Mary telling her. It's one of those things when you tell someone don't do this, they're much more apt to do it. And I feel like that's part of the reason. I don't know, I don't know if she'd be fully into this if it wasn't for that as well. Do you guys agree or disagree?
I like the theory. I agree with the theory. It's like the old, sending your daughter to convent school and she ends up, thinking she's going to be safe, and the convent girl always rebels, doesn't she? So,
yes. Yeah.
Right?
It's like all my Catholic school girlfriends. They all got crazy.
And we'll leave it at that.
No, come on, let's go. Come on, Keaton.
Not me. I said all my friends. Okay. No, it's like the more, like you tell somebody don't touch the big red button, they want to touch it even more. So it's I don't know. I can see that theory working and stuff, but that's not how I want to go through life. You tell me not to do something, I don't know. I'm not going to do it unless it's like a stupid reason you're telling me not to do it. Mm-hmm. So. That might be silly, but then it's all.
I'll try it out next week, and I'll report back to viewers whether or not Keaton took the bait.
Took the bait. Oh, I don't. You haven't told me not to do anything yet.
I will. Okay. I can't tell you now because you're gonna know what it is.
Okay. Well, good luck with that one.
Fair enough. All right. So Claude and Leith, let's talk about this because last week we got Greer. This week we don't get Greer, but we get Leith. And last week we didn't get Leith. Claude is. Or Leith is Claude's bodyguard now. Potentially, there's a developing romance.
I don't know. Did you ever have scenes with Claude?
No, she was just starting when I was.
When I was
getting
by,
killed, man.
So
what? She's dating.
She's now. So Leith and Greer broke up. Okay. Sad face, right? Yeah, it's like they're meant to be together.
But it was Leith's decision.
Why'd they break up?
Because she wouldn't. She wouldn't stop. Her
Being
job at the horror house.
Madam.
But she wasn't, she's
he
not.
He wanted her to be a good woman.
So, makes sense.
Yeah.
Can't hate him. I don't know. I don't think Claude is a good match for Leith. I think Claude is crazy, and I think Leith belongs with Greer, even though she's a madam. He needs to get over it. True love is true love.
What are the Twitter people
Yeah, what are the Twitter people? I don't know. People, everybody loves Lathan Greer together. Yeah. Most people do. And just because, like, that was kind of that, in that very, I think it was in, even in the pilot episode, the Nostradamus kind of prediction of who she would be, who would be her one true love, and the guy, it was Lath. And so he worked so hard to get up to his, the status he is now, and she kind of has fallen. So they're like, they've gone like this. But yeah, she's, I don't know. I feel like they're meant to be together. They're going to end up together someday. Just we're going to have to kind of beat around the bush, and he's going to go through a couple other ladies, including a princess.
That would bring up his status.
No? Yeah, big time.
I mean, how was, you know, it was surprising to see Lath kind of spying on Charles and Claude when they were talking about Francis' death. That's not typical of Lath.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
no.
Do you think it was typical?
It was not typical, but I don't know. Lath is figuring out how to be in at court, and he, you know, he falls into things, and Lath is not the kind of guy, like he's a helper. He's a people pleaser, and he always wants to help people, and that's what gets him in trouble a lot. So he probably heard, oh, it sounds like something's wrong with Claude, and so he's staying and listening around, and it's like, oh, crap, I just heard something I wasn't supposed to hear. And, you know, but then again, he turns it back of, like, Claude, like, I went and looked for what you were looking for. How can I help you? Because I want to help you. And because that's just who Lath is, and he's a good dude. And I don't think he meant to be malicious by overhearing their conversation.
Could he quit his job? Because technically it was assigned to Claude by Catherine. So could he just be like, you know what?
I'm done with this.
he told her that today. He's like, your mom's in jail. Sorry about you, but I'm out. Like, he said that today. So, yeah, he could very well walk away.
This negates the contract. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. Speaking of Catherine, this is in terms of France. This is the most interesting part of the storyline. Catherine revolves around all of this, and we kind of open the episode up where Francis is declaring to all of his family members and including Bash that he is dying. And I wasn't expecting this to come this early. I thought for sure he would hide it,
mm-hmm.
because it's one of those things. And correct me if perhaps I'm wrong, but whenever and I think Catherine was the one who said this, but the secrets are best kept when it's only you, because as soon as you tell one person, mm-hmm. the world knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel
great,
like,
great advice.
Because now, we're talking about Lath. Now he knows. Now Lola knows. And now what Lola knows, Narcisse could know.
Heard it through the grapevine.
It's just I thought it was a bad move by Francis, perhaps.
But you know, they at some point they need to find allies in this. It can't just be him and Mary. Like, they can't do this alone. And I think that's been a problem of theirs in the past, where they thought they could do it alone, and they've gotten in trouble because of it. You know, and obviously they've trusted the wrong people at times too. But they're trying to keep it as best in their inner circle as they can, and they're trying to cover their tracks too, while always having somebody look at, like, watching Catherine. Because, for example, Francis's little brother went to go speak with Catherine, and they made sure they had somebody overhearing any type of conversation they would have, so they would cover their tracks and make sure that she couldn't double-cross them again. So I think they're learning from their mistakes, they're making smarter decisions, and they're also realizing we can't do this alone, we need each other, and we need our family and friends. So I think it's a smart move.
Do you think it's smart?
Sounds smart to me.
Character arcs.
I don't know. I just think it's a bad move. Again, now half the French court could, you know, it's episode 3. I'm telling you.
I know. This is moving very fast. I feel like we're only 2 episodes in, but I literally feel like the story of this season has gone, like, we would be at the mid-season finale of, like,
so when did Francis's little brother come into the show?
He came in last week, but now obviously his involvement is has grown in tonight's episode.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, I mean, in terms of, he's not going anywhere. I think he's going to have a major storyline for, you know, certainly the rest of the season.
Well, because what happens when Francis passes away in history? What I don't want to, like, people can
go ahead.
Spoiler. So obviously, Catherine is very instrumental in what he does after Francis dies, and what happens to Mary. And they might be trying their best right now to make sure she's okay, but things are going to get a little shady. And we don't hang out at French court forever.
Spoiler alert.
Let's talk about history. I love it.
Spoiler alert. Doesn't once Francis dies, isn't that when Mary does head to Scotland?
Yeah, she gets, I believe, like, they kick her out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because
so
there's no reason for her to be there anymore.
No. Exactly. And she's just a threat to Catherine and, like, yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I feel like we're going to have a whole new location then, maybe second half of the season.
You
like,
think
not
that soon,
French
huh?
Court anymore.
Oh, I guess if he,
unless
if he goes end of...
At the mid-season
probably,
finale.
Yeah, probably start the next season, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to... I don't think we're going to get a fourth location.
Well, maybe we'll get, like, the season finale cliffhanger will be Mary just getting kicked out of the castle by Catherine.
I think that makes sense because, you know, last season we all speculated when Elizabeth's coming. And every week it would be Keaton. We're getting Elizabeth next week.
I just love Elizabeth. I love her. She's her story.
Well,
awesome.
We got her in the season finale. We got the glimpse of like, hello, Catherine, and then cut to black.
Yeah.
And then obviously now we have her, but it took a while to get there. So I don't think we're going to Scotland anytime soon.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Oh, well,
sorry, Keaton.
It's okay. I'm going to go to Scotland next year. So
are you really?
I think I'm going to make a trip.
Oh, nice.
I love Scotland. I haven't been in a while.
So
I digress.
Let me ask you guys this, because if you're Francis, why aren't you killing Catherine? You know that as long as this woman is alive, just like as long as Narcisse is alive, because for the longest time I thought the only way to get rid of Narcisse was to kill him, she remains a threat.
Well, Mary said it. She's like, we cannot, he doesn't want not only the death of his father on his conscience, but then as well as the death of his mother. And obviously, Francis is a religious guy. Like, he was brought up very religious, and so with his death looming, I doubt he really wants to get any more blood on his hands when he's going to be going.
That's when Mary steps up, tells Bash, hey, you're going to go to the woods again.
Yeah.
And you're going to do something, but when you come back, tell them that you've taken Catherine to a faraway country that no one's ever heard of.
But when Francis goes, doesn't that open up the way for Bash to come back into a...
Well, that's some of the whispers that Catherine is putting in Charles's ear, which is Francis's younger brother, is you have all these threats.
Yeah.
Like, you need me. You don't, like, Mary's a threat, and, like, Bash is a threat, and they're, like, the bastard son is a threat. And so this whole episode was really interesting because it was Charles kind of being like, who do I listen to as this, like, 14-year-old kid who's now kind of at the center of what's going to happen with this giant alliance between France and Scotland. And, you know, by the end of this episode, he's now betrothed to Mary as soon as Francis kicks the bucket, which is kind of awkward. Really awkward, actually. I don't know. You're 14 and you're older brother. Like, that's, I mean, the whole way things worked back then was awkward. So it's interesting to see it play out. Especially because that kid looks so young. The kid they got to play his younger brother, he looks very, very young. He's very good.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly older than when we first met Charles.
Yeah, so it's not the same guy.
Obviously. Oh, no.
I don't think
so. He's definitely hit a growth spurt if it was because he's really tall.
I mean, if I had to get, like, age-wise, if I had to guess, like, when we first saw Charles, from an actor perspective, he looked like he was 8, right, to me, at least. And now I think he, to me, looks more like 14, 15.
Yeah.
But, so we'll see. There's a lot. I mean, the interesting part to me is now it almost starts like a brotherly feud in some sense, because how much can you really trust Charles? You want to do right by him. He's your brother, but
is Charles like a Joffrey sort of guy? Is he or
he's a teenager.
Okay,
he's a brat, and
so he's looking forward to his time in the sun. Is he?
Yeah, and he doesn't. Well, he's looking forward to his time in the sun. He doesn't want to get married. He's a young kid. He's like, I'm going to marry for love. Like, you got to marry for love. I'm not going to marry the woman who you love. Like, you guys are obviously in love, and that's going to be weird. Like, he's kind of like that's weird. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And mom doesn't like her, so why should I like her type of thing. And mom's never done anything wrong by me. Little does he know all the crap that she has done to Mary and Francis and probably to her son, you know, inadvertently. So, but again, that's why kind of this episode was interesting, because it was him kind of discovering. And I'll be interested to see where they take his character, because...
They should have a family therapy session. Could you imagine that? Because all the things Claude could come out with, all the things Francis could come out with.
Well, Narcisse would go in there, too, because Narcisse has been with Claude and Catherine and also Lola. And it's their family.
Narcisse needs to write another...
Black book.
Black book, hand it to Charles, and just be like, read this.
Yeah.
Have fun, buddy.
Advice on life.
All my secrets.
Yeah.
Let's get into England. You know, I love kind of being in England. Now we get Elizabeth really on her own without Catherine, and she's making moves on her own, and she, in many ways, loses Robert, her lover.
She does. She thinks she would lose him if he went to Scotland, but so they're trying to send Robert to Scotland, as I'm sure you know, the man, Robert Dudley,
is it Donnelly? So who's the guy that she falls in love with?
Dudley. Robert Dudley.
So he's in already.
From the get-go. We know about their affair. We've met his wife, too. Okay. They're trying to send him away because her council, or at least a couple people on her council, like kind of know that he's distracting her and whatever. Okay. And she doesn't want him to be sent away. Yeah. And so she finds a way. She basically, like in front of the entire council, says, he's not good enough. He can't go to Scotland right now to be our double agent. We need to send somebody else.
Okay.
So, because everybody was like worried, oh, if you keep him there, like they're going to all, everyone's going to know that you're like sleeping with him. Mm. And
but that's what I feel like everyone does know.
I know. It was stupid. It was really stupid. I don't like them painting Elizabeth at like this. Like, she's such a strong, strong person and character in real life. So it's interesting now that they're kind of painting her like a petty little brat.
Yeah.
Who's just like, I don't like Mary and I want Dudley to stay here and I don't want to get married. Like, that's like literally how I feel like she's acting right now, and I'm like, come on.
I think she's stronger than that. I think they're painting her as a woman that, yes, has emotions just like a man does.
I thought you were just gonna end on, I think they're just painting her like a woman. I was gonna be like, whoa.
No, I did not say that. And I think they're painting her no different than Mary, which I think both are really strong people. Unfortunately, it's just, you know, all those things are looked down upon by this society.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's accurate.
I don't know. I'm excited to see where. I agree. It's more relatable for obviously a modern day audience to see these two very, very strong women. But no matter how strong you are as a character, you are also flawed. Everybody's flawed. Nobody's perfect. And so, yes. But it's annoying to see. She just seems more whiny than Mary has ever been.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Well, at the same time, they got to paint her bad, right? I mean, what she does
she
to her friend.
Yeah, she's supposed to be the villain. Yeah, Donatella.
Okay. You know, I mean, right off the bat, she asks for a favor, and then it gets flipped when she's like, okay, well, I guess I got to sacrifice you.
Yeah,
Mary would never do that. Certainly not to Lola. That's why Lola needs to pick Mary, not Narcisse.
Okay, well.
I'm going back to that
argument. I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens next week. I didn't get to see the preview for next week, so I don't really have many predictions. But I'm excited to see kind of where... Now that, because Elizabeth did choose a spy, Nicholas, to be her new ambassador to France, so we are having a double agent now go to Scotland from England. Okay. And so I think we'll have more kind of connection to the two places. So
yeah, because Elizabeth was our connection at first.
Well,
Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And now.
Are they shooting the English scenes in Toronto as well?
I think they are. Yeah. I mean, I know they do like a couple weeks in Ireland at that one castle that they do all the exterior shots at.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever get to go there?
No.
I think they only shoot like the plates there. I guaranteed it's probably, you know, they're right next door to each other. Like, hey, could you quiet down? We're shooting Elizabeth's scenes.
Yeah.
It's
probably in the same studio. But no, I know a couple of them went out to Ireland last summer and did a bunch of scenes out there. But the castle that they shoot at is so pretty. Like, you can stay there as like a hotel. I know I did a castle. Yeah. Well, I did a castle corner, which is like kind of when we talk about a castle on the show. About where they shoot, and it's just a really, really cool place. And you can, it's a hotel, and it's just beautiful. So, yeah, it's in Ireland, though. So, if you ever
want. That's the good news. I've learned that most of these castles you can get married at. If you want to.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, can one of my friends get married at an interesting location? Love you all, but I'm traveling all over the country, and I'd love to go to England or somewhere in Europe.
These are your Catholic school friends, huh?
Right, no. None of them are married.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Should we get into news? I know you said you had a lot of news, because we've kind of covered everything on the episode.
Sure. But.
Oh!
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, just getting right into it. Heavy.com came out with an article about pictures that you need to see of...
Adelaide's.
Yes.
I follow her on Instagram.
And don't worry, they're not dirty. So get your mind out of the gutter, people. Mm-hmm. They're just cool photos of her life that she posts on Instagram.
Well, that's what Instagram's for, right?
Yeah, but, you know, these are, like, really interesting photos.
Do
I don't know.
Do you have
there's
an Instagram?
I do, yeah. I've just, you do? I didn't really get into it till just recently, so, like, but I have measly, like, 380 followers.
Hey, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. What's your Instagram?
Just Gildano, or one word.
Awesome. Yeah. Do you have, like, kung fu and horse pictures on there?
Oh, totally.
Always.
Totally.
Oh, that's all it is. Yeah, kung fu and horses
and
are
puppies,
wushu.
Puppies.
Oh, this is like, the perfect Instagram. Why do you not have, like, gone viral yet?
Yeah. No, I decided.
And then there was...
what's that lady been posting? What about you,
Thor? Well, you're really gonna have cute to... stuff. No, I follow
her.
Have
to follow her. Okay.
I do follow her.
We're
she's
from the same hometown. So
both
from Perth, yeah.
Oh, that's like on the opposite. I've been on the other side of Australia, but not Perth.
Ah, boring. You've got to go west. Go
I
west.
Know. I haven't gone west yet. I have to cross an entire country. Yeah. That was a lot, much more expensive plane ticket. I road tripped Australia.
Oh, really?
It was awesome. Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. I got a lot of friends in the sunny coast. So
the sunny coast?
The sunny coast.
Sunshine coast.
Sorry. Sunshine.
The whole coast of Australia is sunny.
The sunshine coast. I have a lot of friends because they all worked on Survivor when I worked on Survivor. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, good stuff. But yeah, Adelaide's Instagram is awesome. She posts a lot about cats, puppies. And she goes to Disneyland when she with other cast members. That's what's more. I love when like you guys like they cast behind the scenes or post behind the scenes photos because it's fun to see kind of them in period costumes and then just goofing off.
Yeah.
It's like they're just like us.
And then she also kind of went on to say how she got into the accent for the show. I never studied American accents in terms of getting a teacher or taking phonetics classes. I've always been a good mimic. It really wasn't that hard for me.
But she doesn't really have an American accent in the show. It sounds more like British.
No. She means a British accent, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe she...
Well, I mean, the quote says American, so...
Oh, okay. Maybe she was talking about a rain. So.
Did you guys talk about, because obviously, like, your character, you're Scottish, right? No, or French.
No,
you're
no
French. Yeah, you're French. Yeah. So did they talk to you about kind of the way your accent needed to be, or were they just like, standard kind of English?
I'd have actually, that's how I found out I was going to be killed, because I had a dialect session before every episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have a... Before the last episode, I had a Skype session with my dialect coach. She said, and she, first thing she says, "I can't believe you're being killed off." I said, what?
Oh!
Yeah, it's like, because normally you find out at the table read. So we'd have a dialect coach, and then we'd just work on that stringently before the episode. We received pronunciation was how we were meant to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I always want, because I remember when the show first came out, people were like, "Oh, why aren't they doing French accents, or why aren't they doing Scottish accents, and you know, why is it just you know standard English?" Or I get, what is that called, the accent that you guys
received
are doing?
Pronunciation.
Okay.
RP. Yeah.
RP. Yeah.
Standard English.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I'm okay
but
with
she's,
it because I can.
She's
understand.
Not like because I know Joss Whedon started following her on Twitter. That like he's got her in mind for some big job. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's something there, like, is she going to be a new superhero or something? Or, I don't know.
What's your favorite accent to do?
Irish, I think.
Really?
Irish, yeah.
Can we hear some?
to be sure. No, it's like, it's just, I don't know why, absolutely Irish.
Irish?
We Australians and Irish, we associate ourselves very closely with them. They like, we're very laid back and very...
You guys like to drink.
Guys
like to party.
I actually don't really drink at all, even.
I've never met an Australian that doesn't drink.
Yeah, seriously. But we're famous for our drinking. The Irish are famous for their drinking. But, and they, you know, just don't take life too seriously, I guess. It's it's our flaw as well as a positive, I guess, for the Aussies.
All right. Well, you're hopefully one of your favorite segments of the entire show, Castle Corner.
Do we have a theme song for that yet? I know we did at one point.
No, but we have a bed of music.
We do?
That we sometimes play.
All right. Give me my Castle Corner for this week. I'm excited. First of the season.
Here's Marissa, one of our producers here, she makes fun of me because I picked the hardest castles to do. So, Keaton, why don't you tell us which castle we're doing? It's from Sweden.
It looks like it's... Boss Jokloster.
Oh my lord.
There you go.
Now, oh my god.
I think I got it.
Now, interestingly enough, we're going with the theme of tonight. We're going to bring up the pictures for you guys.
So you bring up the picture of that castle, do you?
Yes.
Yeah, where is it? It's going to come right there?
Yep, we're bringing it up for you guys. And, you know, the interesting part is that it started off as a nunnery.
Okay.
In the 16th century, right? So we're going with Keane's theme here.
Who finds these castles?
We just pick one at random
every week.
And so the estate then became Danish crown property. It was donated to the former Archbishop of Lund, Torren Bell Bill, under the condition that he take care of the remaining nuns. And in 1560, Frederick II of Denmark gave the estate as a barter to the widowed Scandian noblewoman Thel Ustand. Her initial.
Yeah. What do you mean? Well, you can read these names.
Fair enough. Okay.
This sounds like Monty Python, the Holy Grail.
I know.
Is this a true story?
This is true.
Okay. You can keep reading, Keaton.
The castle passed to the Beck family through marriage in 1629, but when Jakum Beck lost the family fortune, it was sold to Corfitz Ulfeldt to repay his debts. Ulfeldt was a Danish aristocrat famous for having switched sides. When he showed up at peace negotiations at the Treaty of, oh my gosh, these words, Phil, Roskilde, proceedings to negotiate on behalf of Sweden, he was convicted of treason by a Danish
That's
court.
A regular word.
That's a regular word. Yeah, I don't have. Soon thereafter, he was also convicted of treason by a Swedish court. That he's failing right there, and was forced into exile. His wife, daughter of Christian the Fourth, was captured in his place by the Danish authorities and was imprisoned in the Blue Tower in Copenhagen for 22 years. Sounds like the Tower of London type of thing. The composer Hilding Rosenberg was born here in 18... oh, that's cool. So,
Well, you know Hilding Rosenberg, do you?
Yeah.
You do?
Well, no, I don't, but he's a composer, and he was born... I assume he's... He must be somewhat important because, I don't know.
Why else would you be reading
Why
about
else
it?
Would I be reading about it? The castle was sequestered by the Swedish state and fell into despair after a lawsuit in 1735. This castle was returned to the Beck family, who renovated the castle and sold it in 1908 to Count Philip Bond, whose family still owns Bosch Josh Lost.
By the way, one of the reasons that took a little bit long, just to give you an insight into the behind the scenes, was Keaton was skipping over the hard words.
Yeah, I know.
Right? trying to rephrase them.
I had to skip over the hard words.
All right, so we have some photos here. And you know, the interesting part, so I'm learning just even this for myself. Castles come in all different shapes and sizes. And so as you guys can see and we're watching, it
looks like a nunnery.
Yeah,
it does
exactly.
look like a nunnery.
It does not look like a castle
Get
at all, but it does have a
nunnery.
Moat. It's got a moat around it, and there is an aerial view of it.
Ooh.
There's from the inside, and that's the aerial
beautiful.
View. So again, not your typical castle, but a castle nonetheless in Sweden.
I like it. I like it a lot.
That's how it sounds today, huh?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Thank you, Phil.
So there you go, Castle Corner of the day. If you can say the word, you get 10 extra points.
Yeah, can somebody like tweet at me how to say that like phonetically? That would be helpful. Thank you. Just for learning purposes.
All right. And that about wraps it up for today's episode of The Rain After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Keaton, Markey, where can the good people follow you?
Oh, you guys can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Keaton Markey. I keep it simple.
There you go. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Gil Darnell, or at one word.
And don't forget to check out Fox's Bones Thursday nights at 8
yes.
p.m.
That's right.
And that photographer. Fun. I'm going to look him up.
Yeah. The one thing about this guy is he's my Facebook friend now, so like every one of his photos is just amazing. It's just like about like.
Follow him on Instagram.
Like yeah, seriously, right?
There you go. Thank you guys, and follow us here at AfterBuzz TV, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and if you like to watch us, go to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV, subscribe there, or if you're listening on the iTunes and podcast side of things, be sure to comment there. We appreciate your support. And we love doing this for you guys. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.